morning and welcome to Shattering Myths. I am Yana. Each weekday morning here on GCN, we strive to expose the destructive and the deadly myths associated with religion and politics, with patriotism and the media, with military and economic schemes. Instead of merely presenting the news, our mission here on this program is to help you understand what is actually occurring while predicting how the events that are being described will shape our world over the next 20 years. Then during our second hour, we engage God on His terms because it is the only solution. He is the only reliable source of information by way of His one and only covenant and through His always dependable Torah teaching, so that with His guidance, you will be able to replace the foolishness of religion with reason and actually engage in a meaningful relationship with Him. Our phone number, if you'd like to question, criticize, or affirm anything that is said over the next 2 hours, toll-free, 877-300-7645. There are so many things to cover today. It's going to be a challenge, but let's begin with, last night. A tragic explosion in West Texas, a town about 15 miles north of Waco, Texas. Right about the anniversary of the government's malfeasance vis-a-vis the Branch Davidian compound. First, let's talk about what happened at the Branch Davidian compound. The United States decided, and it was the federal government, it wasn't the state of Texas, but the federal government of the United States decided that they would infringe on the Second Amendment rights of the Branch Davidians to bear and to keep arms. They decided that there was a style of shotgun, I believe, that did not meet muster with federal regulations, although to be fair, there can't be any restriction on any kind of weapon and not breach the Second Amendment instructions. The Second Amendment instructions are strictly for weapons that would be used as part of a militia. And so there is no weapon that could be conceivably banned by the U.S. Constitution. Unless you're going to amend the U.S. Constitution, the ATF had absolutely no business raiding that compound. And, of course, what the government did following that is an example of what the government will do to others who it views are not in compliance with its instructions. So here we turn to West Texas. West Texas, small community, 2,500, 2,600 residents. And around 8 p.m. last night, after a fertilizer factory was closed, there was a fire, a small explosion, and then a massive explosion that leveled five blocks. You can't say around the fertilizer factory because on one side there is nothing but open fields, but on the other side of the fertilizer factory you have the community of West Texas. At least 15 people are dead. Perhaps as many as 100 are injured, and that death toll may rise. So what is the reason, other than to say what a terrible tragedy it was in West Texas, to talk about something in a small community like this? Because this program does not exist to present news that we cannot learn something from. If there's not an insight associated with the news that helps us understand the reasons things happen and what it means to us in the future, we will just leave it to the regular media to present. Well, my friends, the majority of car bombs that are so destructive in Iraq, in Pakistan, in Afghanistan, and bombs like the ones that attempted to destroy the World Trade Center back in 93, the kind of bomb that was designed by Ramzi Youssef and deployed against the Oklahoma City building. Those bombs used porous-pilled ammonium nitrate. It's 94% porous-pilled ammonium nitrate. It's a little, it's a small pill about the size of a tiny BB, kind of pinkish in color, and fuel oil. The porous aluminum nitrate absorbs the fuel, and it acts as a catalyst, and it's an oxidizing agent. And it is that ingredient, that recipe, that is responsible for the overwhelming preponderance of Islamic bombings, of massive bombings of buildings. It's what was used in Kenya against the American embassies. In America, and in many places around the world, a Muslim can't walk up to a factory like this and say, I wish to buy 2,000 pounds of ammonium nitrate. Its sale is strictly and heavily regulated. And unless you are known to the seller as someone who is in, for example, this is a component in cattle feed. It's a component in the mining of potash, which is an extraordinarily important fertilizer. It is a component in coal mining and for mining for metals. Unless you're in the business that uses this and needs large quantities of it and are a regular customer of it and you track and secure it, you can't buy it. So what to do? What wannabe Islamic bombers do? They steal it. And so here's a factory that caught fire and exploded after long after, 3 hours after it closed. Now, am I saying that it's definitely a would-be Muslim? Not an existing Muslim, a fundamentalist Muslim going in, and because they wanted to build a car or truck bomb to savage more innocent people in America. Can't say that for certain. But is there a probability that's what occurred and what set it off? Absolutely. Now, could well be that it was just you know, an innocent accident, and that it was, you know, a spark that was created somehow. Who knows? Could even be a security guard that thought that maybe I should be smoking here, and I'm going to toss my my burning ember into a pile of mound of material that I know will explode and kill me. Could be, but it's unlikely, and we should keep our minds open that this is a tremendous vulnerability. Moving on to the second item in the news, there's pictures now that are not being circulated, but at least to us publicly, they are being circulated to law enforcement agencies, although you can Google it and look at the pictures yourself online. The pictures online, you're going to have to use other news sources that will show you views of two men's faces and how those pictures were taken, and you will see how the frontal view of these two men's faces were taken, which the, you can't see. At least I'm not able to see clearly on the these sites that are discriminating them. But two men with dark black hair, kind of olivish skin, one bearded, the other clean shaven, that are the primary people of interest. I don't think they're even calling them suspects at this point in the Boston bombing. And while both look as if they could well be from countries dominated by Islam, a person's appearance ought to not be the primary indicator as to whether or not they are a Muslim. But in the case of the Boston bombing, when you consider the fact that the bomb was made from a pressure cooker, that it was filled with nails and BB pellets, that when you consider the ingredients that were used in the bomb, the fact that it is a an exact replica of what is promoted and designed, and what there are videos of, scores of videos, promoted both by Hamas and by Inspire magazine on this specific kind of bomb, and that this specific kind of bomb is used every day, many times every day, by Muslims throughout Islamic countries to indiscriminately kill innocent civilians in this manner. 999 times out of 1,000 under these circumstances, it would be a fundamentalist Muslim. That does not mean that it was in this case. This could be the exception. But if it is the exception, then there's a whole lot of people out there who are supposed to be experts who have been talking about this that will look like fools. Now, the other thing that we want to also mention again, we talked about this yesterday, but anytime you see unanimity in amongst media and politicians, even amongst those in the judicial and prosecuting departments like the FBI, where there is unanimity, there is always collusion. What was the unanimity reporting vis-a-vis Boston? The unanimity was that everyone was questioning whether or not this was international terrorism or domestic terrorism. Now, when you have everyone from the FBI to the media to politicians all using the same terminology, wondering and trying to differentiate between international terrorism and domestic terrorism, when that is not the issue, you'd say, why are they all trying to mislead? And no one's asking that question. Why are they trying to mislead? The only question is this the 999 out of 1,000? And it is Islamic terrorism perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims, which means even if they acted independently of any organization, they're not a lone wolf. They're acting on behalf of a religion that is 1.5 billion members strong, or weak, depending on your point of view. Or they are someone who has a grievance with Adidas, Nikes, and running shoes, I suppose. And so it's not a question of international terrorism. It's a question of Islamic terrorism. And it does not make any difference if the Muslim is an American or if he is a Muslim of foreign birth. It's irrelevant. We have Larry on the line who wants to speak of the bombings. And Larry, we'll have to take your call and your always valued input after the break as we talk about these things. And I also want to talk about that pathetic speech by Obama last night. To Shattering Mist. We have Larry on the line calling in from Florida. Hello, my friend. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing good. God, how are you? I just had to chime in on this one. I've been watching it unfold. My opinion, it was government done. It was a false flag, and it's done to advance a larger police state and give us more of a presence of TSA, thereby expanding the scope of government and limiting, again, the rights of the American people. I find it hard to believe that there would be SEAL teams all around the spot, or people at least dressed as SEALs, all around the spot, all carrying the identical bag as the one that the bomb went off in, unless this was being done as a subterfuge. So, yeah, unless you believe in total ridiculous coincidence, obviously the government has done this, and this is a false flag. It's a Reichstag moment, and it wouldn't be the first time government has done this in order to enslave the population.
Yeah, I'm wholly in disagreement with you, Larry.
We are in total disagreement because SEALs were 10 feet away from where that bomb went off, and then they ran as the bomb went off. Why were they there? Can you tell me that, Yada?
Well, first of all, I when I'm told something like SEALs were there without verification.
They were dressed as SEALs. They were dressed as SEALs. I have verification. Got all the pictures of it.
Yeah, you know, Larry, I'm looking at the people that that they have both in the videos and the still pictures that look like the perpetrators of this event, and they don't look like SEALs to me. They certainly aren't dressed in.
You're talking about the black and the khaki. That's civilian SEAL dress. That's when you're out there on the civilian population, so you can spot each other.
Okay. Well, we're just
you didn't know
Larry. I'm sorry. We're in complete disagreement. Let me tell you what I think happens in these kinds of circumstances. Well, I still don't know the religion of the perpetrators of this. We do know that 999 times out of 1,000, when these same circumstances exist, and they exist around the world multiple times every day, that it is perpetrated by a fundamentalist Muslim, just as 9/11 was perpetrated by a fundamentalist Muslim. It was a plan conceived by Ramzi Youssef in the Philippines. He's the same fellow that designed the bomb and trained Terry Nichols to deploy the bomb in Oklahoma City. He's the same fellow that deployed the bomb and actually made the bomb for the first bombing of the World Trade Center back in 93. The three biggest terrorist acts in America was Ramzi Youssef's design, who was a fundamentalist Muslim.
Do not suggest that Muslims do not go out and create bombing incidents. What I am saying is that you don't have federal people surrounding an area where a bomb goes off, and they're all carrying the identical backpack that was used.
Yeah, and that's where we're That's where Larry. That's I love you. I think you're terrific. Many of your insights. We are in complete disagreement here. I do not think that there is any chance in the world that the United States is bombing its own citizens in this form. Now, we are bombing our own citizens with drones. We have killed American citizens without due process. So it's not that murdering Americans without due process is beyond America. But in terms of
fund Al-Qaeda, don't we?
But we did.
Syria.
It's not Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is absolutely irrelevant. Al-Qaeda, for all practical purposes, if you're going to use on this program, if we're going to refer to the Mujahideen and the jihadists that are opposing the Assad government, they're fundamentalist Sunni Muslims. They have no connection with Al-Qaeda other than they share the same ideology, which is fundamentalist Islam. Al-Qaeda
funding them.
Yeah, Al-Qaeda is completely irrelevant. Yes, we are supplying the weapons that they are deploying against civilians. The United States government is rotten. We are in agreement that it is rotten, that it is disingenuous, that it is hopelessly corrupt. And that if you want to look at the worst terrorist act, which would be the fundamentalist Islamic suicide bombing of 2001 on September 11th, the FBI had complete knowledge of that plan 6 years before it happened. The Ramzi Youssef and his lead lieutenant were actually making a bomb when their apartment caught fire while they were making their bomb. And when the police raided the apartment, they made all of the computer files of Ramzi Youssef available to the FBI, who traveled to the Philippines to see them, and they saw the entire plot of 9/11 6 years before it happened. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Back in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. We're talking about the photographs that are now available regarding the bombing in Boston. Alex Jones, who is amongst the most popular conspiracy theorists, is out promoting the notion that this was perpetrated by SEALs, that the U.S. government came up with the plan and perpetrated the plan, and they show lots of pictures and out-of-context information to indicate that that this was SEALs, because there's pictures of men suspiciously holding what looks like a backpack, a somewhat similar backpack, standing in the suede-colored kind of boots that are common amongst the military. These are just standard khaki pants, the cargo kind of pants that are often worn casually by those in the military, and a black jacket, so that they look like they are military. The wardrobe they're wearing is available anywhere. And so the conclusion is that that he is perpetrating is that it was the United States actually perpetrated the bombing, and the United States government is responsible for blowing the legs off little children and killing three young people. I am acknowledging that our government does do heinous things around the world. And I am fully acknowledging that our government does even heinous things here in the United States, and that our government is absolutely now willing to kill without due process and to kill American citizens without due process, and that it will continue to do so, and that the government does use heinous acts that are perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims to advance its goal to rob us of our wealth and of our freedoms. 9/11, for example, is a wonderful textbook case of this. The plan was conceived by Ramzi Youssef back in 1994 and 95. He wrote the entire plan down as part of a document. As a matter of fact, at the time, and he was in the Philippines associated with Abu Sayyaf, at the time Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was with him, who was his Ramzi Youssef's uncle. He was his mother's brother. And the United States government, the FBI, had full knowledge of that plan. The Bonginka plot was, which was perpetrated, tested in the Philippines, out of the Philippines, and then was tried later out of London, was his plan. Ramzi Youssef is the fellow that perpetrated the 93 bombing of the World Trade Center. He's the guy that met with Terry Nichols to design the bomb that was deployed at the Oklahoma City building bombing. He is the fellow that conceived every detail of the plan of 9/11. And the plan of 9/11 was known to the U.S. government, to the FBI, 6 years before it occurred, right down to the detail of flight training and the buildings that would be attacked and the kinds of airplanes that would be used to fly into those specific buildings. And the United States did nothing. Does that make them a co-conspirator? No. But does it make them guilty of not protecting the American people, not telling flight schools that, hey, if you have some guys that appear to be Islamic come in here and they want just a little bit of flight training, you know, bring them to our attention because we're aware of this plan? And they didn't do it. They knew, in fact, that the plan had been conceived. They knew that Ramzi Youssef was guilty of it. They did nothing. They allowed the plan to kill 3,000 Americans, and then afterwards they never admitted that they knew of it in advance, and then they blamed it on al-Qaeda when it was not an al-Qaeda plan. All of that. It's repulsive. It's disgusting. And then the United States used the Islamic suicide bombing to restrict American freedoms, to steal American money, to go off on a war against a tactic that has left a million people dead, squandered $6 trillion taxpayer dollars, destroyed the credibility of the United States around the world. So are we disgusting? Absolutely. But to take it to the next step and to suggest, for example, as Alex Jones does, that the United States perpetrated 9/11, and now that the United States told its SEALs to go and blow the legs off little children, that's a step beyond what I think is rational and reasonable.
I don't know that he said they were SEALs. He said they were dressed as SEALs, and they are. But let me, you know, right down to the Punisher hats. But let me tell you something. When I see a government that's ordering 3,000 armored vehicles, carriers for the United States.
Right. 30,000 drones to fly over the United States.
Yes, and 1.5 billion rounds of ammunition. And by the way, a lot of those are hollow point. They are not used for target practice.
And when you're training the National Guard to isolate evangelical Christians and anyone who has a view that is opposed to their government as the enemy. When you have them training to go after anyone who will speak against the government. Now, you know, I speak against our government, but I am wholly against violence. I mean, I think you have to be an absolute moron to think that you're going to advance your cause by killing people. So,
but two plus two is four, and these people want more power. They want the TSA. What was the first thing they said with this bomb? Did they say Islamic terrorism? They said no. I heard five different
domestic terrorism.
Say they were right wingers. They were gun rights groups. They were patriot movement people.
Right.
I don't see this out of the patriot movement. I don't see any violence. None. I didn't see any of that from the Tea Party. Did you?
No. No. And as a matter of fact, well, there are.
Who are these actors?
Let's be clear. There are right, far right wing nut jobs out there. In fact, the city of Elohim that participated in the Oklahoma City bombing were a group of neo-Nazi right wing nutcases. Now, the bomb was designed, and the motivation for the bombing came from Terry Nichols and his relationship with Abu Sayyaf and Ramzi Youssef in the Philippines. But the fundamentalist Islamic groups at the time were recruiting disgruntled U.S. veterans and using them. Why? What is the unique character set? And Rudolph, the guy from the Olympics in Atlanta, had the same character set. What is it about the ex-U.S. military mindset that makes them ideal ploys, patsies to be used by fundamentalist Muslims? They are taught in the military to dehumanize. The military treats people like rubbish, and then they are taught that the enemy is less than human. They dehumanize people, which creates the mindset of an indiscriminate bomber. And so fundamentalist Muslims specifically were going after and trying to recruit disgruntled American vets because they had the mindset to be their patsies, to be used by them. And so is there the possibility that this will be the same as Oklahoma City, where the plan was entirely Islamic and the design of the attack was Islamic, but it was carried out by Islamic, the Muslims that actually designed it, admitted, confessed to the FBI for having done it, and could provide all the evidence that showed, in fact, that they weren't just bragging, that they knew all of the meetings that took place to design it and to plan it. And then the United States government decided to blame it on right-wing extremism so that we could crack down, so they would have justification of cracking down on anyone who opposes the U.S. government? Absolutely. So it's true, Larry, that our government, while it probably did not arrange for this, absolutely will use something like this to advance its...
They absolutely will. Yes, they will use something like this. And sadly, in this case, they have. And, you know, that's my two cents worth for the day. I've got to get back to what I'm doing. But I have to say, you know, on this we disagree. I think this is clearly a Reichstag moment. And I think it's Obama's Reichstag moment. And I think he's been caught. Just the same thing Dr. Savage thought. I think the same thing. I really do.
Yeah. Okay.
I have
well,
to ask why he would meet. Why would he be meeting with this Saudi guy all of a sudden?
Well, you know, whether or not the Saudi national that was acting like he was enjoying the carnage and therefore was tackled by by one of the witnesses to this, and then became the person of interest. The Saudi national was apprehended by a civilian because civilians, plural, saw this person enjoying the carnage as opposed to reacting like everybody else in horror, and that individual became the first suspect. And that's
like to play with dead bodies a lot too.
Right.
I've noticed this in all these jihadist moments. You know, they like beheading people.
They're
fascinated with dead bodies.
Right. Islam perpetrates that mindset, and so. There is this rumor, and I do not know if it's valid or not, that the Saudi national has been sent out of the country at the behest of the Saudi Arabian government. And while I do not know if that's true, or if that is just myth and rumor or not, I can tell you for certain that George Bush allowed one plane to fly in the immediate aftermath of 9/11. And it was specifically designed to take Saudi Arabian nationals out of the United States, and particularly Saudi Arabian nationals that had blood ties to bin Laden. And he did that. He did it deliberately. He did it knowingly. He did it purposefully. And then when the report came out from the 9/11 commission, George Bush redacted all of the connections to Saudi Arabia, removed them, censored them. When the military did its own investigation, he did the same thing. So we know that George Bush did these very things to keep from implicating Saudi Arabia in September 11th in this Islamic suicide bombings. And we know that Obama is far more pro-Islam than George Bush was. So does it stink to high heaven? You betcha. But can you make the connection that it was perpetrated by the U.S. government? I don't think so. I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Back in a moment. Hello, I'm Yada. This is Shattering Myths, and we're considering the theory that this was the Boston bombing was perpetrated by the United States, and that SEALs actually carried it out. I will say that there is one set of pictures, I'm not a forensics specialist, so I don't know if these pictures were doctored, but I'm going to assume they're not for the moment. Which does show two individuals those light suede colored boots that are worn by our military. You don't typically see people other than the military wearing those light colored suede boots, that are wearing the kind of cargo pants, the khakis that are typically worn by our U.S. military. And I spent over 10 years in Charlottesville, Virginia. And in Charlottesville, Virginia, it's the location of NGIC, which is the National Ground Intelligence Center. It's a part of the U.S. Army that collects information on prospective targets for the U.S. military. And so the kind of outfit these guys were wearing, the dark jackets, the khaki pants, those suede shoes, same kind of outfits, those that are worn by civilian ex-military. Same kind of haircut, same look, both big stocky guys. Carrying exactly the same kind of backpack and having both of them having a wired earpiece that is not cell phone but is a different form of communication. And they are standing directly behind where one of the bombs went off, surveying the situation, and those two guys then are shown in the street looking at where the bomb is went off. Same kind of backpacks. And is that troubling? You betcha. And for Larry, let me make it very clear that the juxtapositions of those two pictures are extraordinarily troubling. All the rest of the pictures, I don't see any connection. The people that are running away from the bomb blast that looks so suspicious that were in all the other scenes are not dressed similarly. But those two guys, man, I don't get it. What in the world were they doing there with the backpacks, similar kind of backpacks, and directly behind where the bomb was placed and in the street looking at the bombs, the placement. That is indeed extraordinarily troubling, and I can see why an Alex Jones, who is naturally disposed to this, would make that conclusion. It's tough not to see it, tough not to question it. And when you put in all of the other issues, like the FBI having all of these pictures and people now having these pictures and wanting to address what in the world's going on, and the FBI postponed their news conference over and over again and hasn't released publicly these pictures, when if in fact they have identified the perpetrator based on these pictures, the easiest, safest, best thing to do is to terminate them publicly and to show all of the evidence, because then if somebody knows them, they'll turn them in. But they're not doing that. So, yes, it is easy to see malfeasance on behalf of the U.S. government in this regard. But beyond that, it's hard to make a case. I do want to talk about one other thing briefly in the few minutes we have left. Last night was one of the most despicable acts by a United States president I've ever seen. That whiny, I can't believe 90% of the American people are supportive of this. How could you dare call the parents that we brought in to lobbyists on behalf of the gun control bill that was defeated in the U.S. Senate? And then to say, you know, how in the world can anybody lie about this sort of thing and do this, and that he was this high moral authority and that there was absolutely no reason. Well, let me tell you, the average American is not sworn to defend the U.S. Constitution. If you are a senator, you are sworn to defend the U.S. Constitution. Any limits on Americans' rights to keep and bear arms is opposed to the U.S. Constitution. And this notion that all this was going to do is expand the background checks so that it would both slow the process and make more readily available information on who buys guns outside of gun stores. Since we know that the U.S. government cannot be trusted, if you are a proponent of the U.S. Constitution, you don't want that to expand beyond the gun stores to gun shows and the internet, because once the country knows where every gun is and who owns them, and you have such a reservoir of information, then it becomes extraordinarily easy to confiscate said guns, and we know our government cannot be trusted in this regard.
Farmers keep livestock lean and healthy with a mineral-rich diet. Then, before market, they cut off minerals, leading them to crave high-calorie grains. If weight control is this easy, why prescribe surgery?